Hey, Summit Care Enrollees, this is Faye, and I'm here with Dr. Justin, and we've got an important topic we want to talk to you about. Justin, will you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. We're talking about depression today, and the reason I think you had mentioned that this was an important topic because so many people in America tend to suffer from depression, and you had said maybe you thought that there were quite a few enrollees that were suffering from either anxiety or depression that might want some information.
Yes. So let's start at the beginning. What is depression? I think it's sometimes wanting to know what is depression versus what we see on the TV.
Well, what's interesting is depression is actually broken down into two different categories, really. You've got depression itself, which tends to be a chronic illness, and you have what's called dysthymia. Dysthymia is a condition that occurs acutely, like so if somebody dies, somebody gets divorced, if you experience a loss of
so
a friendship.
So grieving process, that depression.
That's dysthymia.
Okay.
That's temporary. Depression is more of a chronic disease process that inhibits somebody from being able to do the things that they need to do to get through the day on a daily basis. It interferes with their ability to perform their activities of daily living.
On an ongoing basis.
On
so it's not
ongoing
like
basis.
I'm having a bad couple of days kind of a
no,
thing.
No. And it can be, you can have depression that lasts for a month. You can have depression that lasts for 6 months. You can have, usually if it's under a month, we'll say it's dysthymia. Mm-hmm. And if we can attach it to a particular event, it's dysthymia.
Okay.
But if it's unexplained, you have a great family life, your marriage is great, your relationship is great, your job is great, there's no reason for you to be feeling the way you're feeling, then it's likely depression.
Okay, so that I know that's similar to like PTSD, where if it's under a month, it's that you're recovering from that event. But when it's over a month, that's when it flips into something more chronic. And same with baby blues. They tell us after we have a baby that mm-hmm. that first month, your hormones are going to be out of whack. You're going to experience this. But if it's been longer than a month since you've had that, we're talking baby blues.
And you know what? If somebody has had a child and they go into a postpartum that they feel suicidal or they're feeling so depressed that they cannot function, it normally is much more involved than just a regular baby blues type of thing. That would be more of a disease process that's showing up.
So is depression a disease or is it a symptom?
Depression is a symptom of an underlying condition.
So how do providers or how do we as patients start discovering what that underlying piece is?
So the key as a provider, I think, to figuring out what is really going on is by having a very frank and natural conversation with your provider, with your patient rather. A very, very simple conversation. So you sit and you talk back and forth, just like you'd be talking with your friend that you're sitting with having lunch. And the provider is asking very specific questions. Now, with naturopathic medicine, we ask very targeted, specific questions that don't so much seem targeted. Mm-hmm. Traditional therapists and traditional psychiatrists have very strict criteria, and they follow patterns of how to ask questions. When with naturopathic, it's more of it's more loose. So you're having just a general conversation. And as certain triggers are discovered or certain things are discovered, we compile those together and then we start to discuss a potential pathology like depression, anxiety, etc. It's kind of hard to...
It sounds like you're kind of like a coach, and
sort of
just as you're helping us as patients to discover what may be that underlying process, you're discovering what that is to narrow it down to know how to treat.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So many of my patients will get, you know, they'll come in to see me the first time and they'll get a little anxious because we're asking questions. I'm asking questions that are personal, really personal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even really know who I am. And suddenly I'm asking you about
libido.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And where is that going? Here's a really great question I like to ask that the listeners can think about. I will say to them, do you remember a time when you were really young, when you were so excited for something to happen, whether it was a birthday, a holiday,
Christmas Eve,
something, right? Exactly. Where you were so excited for it that it actually made it difficult to sleep. Like you just couldn't wait to get up. You were just, you know, really excited. Most people will say, yes, I remember something like that. Mm. And I will say, when was the last time you felt that way? And then there's usually this pause, and they think about it, and they think about it. Sometimes someone will say, oh, when my child was born. And I'll say, okay, so you were so excited, so elated, that you couldn't sleep? And they might say yes, or they might say, well, no, I was nervous because, you know, the child's coming, we have so much to do. That's different. I'm talking about sheer, utter joy and happiness to the point where you cannot even go to sleep. You can't focus on anything else. This is the only thing you can think about.
So if we were, so instead of not sleeping, so maybe if we were at work, we were so excited about anticipating something.
Yes.
That we're not functioning maybe at our high octane levels that we normally would.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And it's not mushy brain you're talking about.
Right. And so, and then if someone says to me, which happens a lot, I do not remember. I do not remember. Then I will say to them, that sounds like depression to me. Because it should not... It's natural and normal for people to have these peaks and valleys. So you're not excited all the time and you're not down all the time. But if it's constantly a situation where you're down and you never really reach those peaks, then that's a depression. And that can be a depression that's associated with a job that you hate, a spouse that you hate, a family member that you hate, a friend that you hate. It could be anything that is enough to color your situation to the point where you cannot get through it and be enthusiastic.
So can depression be a symptom of not managing our stress?
Absolutely.
Because what you just described sounded like, okay, I haven't managed my stress because I haven't, I'm not getting the healthy peaks and valleys. I'm staying on the lower end of that. So I may not be managing my stress as well with everything. You know, in my case, 6 kids, husband, going
to
school.
That's right.
And, you know, work full time. So I may not be managing it. So the stress may be actually the root cause. So it may not be an actual disease itself.
That's
so it could be actual stress management.
That's right. The kind of situation we're talking about now is not really a chemical depression. We're talking about maybe situational. Chemical depression would be the person that says, no, I do not ever remember that happening in my life. Mm-hmm. Being so excited that I can't, that I was elated or I can't say. The chemical depression people are the people that say, this has been going on since I realized I was a human being.
Mm.
Right? This has been going on for so long that I do not remember a time of ever being elated or happy.
I know with some of the discussions, I have family members that battle severe depression or bipolar. And one of the things we noticed is they are never getting, if they were just severe depression and it wasn't bipolar, they were never getting the high peaks. It was all down in the low and it stayed there and didn't get out and had been there for so long. It was almost like their body acted like it didn't know how to get up.
It was natural. They didn't know any better.
And there was a time back, like maybe when they were a kid, but years and years of whatever else is going on, other diseases that affect a body. I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that diseases like asthma, diabetes can affect.
If it impairs their ability to live and enjoy life, yes, it will affect them. It will make them feel down, dysthymic, right? Mm-hmm. It can cause depression, but not a depression that should last for any, and they should be able to pull out of it. So if they have a good situation, like, oh, we're going on vacation, It's not this constantly, even though they're going on vacation, they're still not down. And we have tests we can do to see if it's genetic, to see if there's a problem with how things are running in the body, so that we can differentiate between that. But the most important thing is to have some part of your life that brings you true happiness. And in your situation, maybe it's your home your home life, your family. So, you know, you guys get along so well, and you enjoy being with your children so much, and they enjoy being with you, that there's a release there. So even if work gets difficult and you're just dreading going in because you have a project that's horrible and it's just going to be grueling, you can always look forward to leaving and going home. But there are some people that home is not that way. And when that's the case, if they don't love their jobs, then they're going to work unhappy and they're going home unhappy. And that is where the problem is.
So are there different ways to treat and help get us back into out of that depression? I mean, is it a matter of, are there happy foods?
So we say natural. So natural comes into place and comes in, is viable when there is no suicide, no suicidal ideation, not suicide itself, but no suicidal ideation. There's no hopelessness. There's not a sense of, I'm not going to make it till next week. Then we start talking about starting with medication and then working our way over to the more natural approach and seeing how we can manipulate that. Natural will come into play where there's pain, there's asthma, there are diseases that are interfering with activities of daily living, changing the diet, which is some of the stuff that Summit Care is showing people, exercise, meeting new friends through groups and developing good, strong relationships, getting out of bad relationships. So
identifying triggers.
That's right. Identifying, yes.
That may be keeping us on that path. So you said something about exercise. How does exercise? I mean, we know it helps our muscles and helps our heart.
It releases endorphins.
So
you feel better. What's interesting is that this is the first year that I've ever noticed that while I was working, when I would become fatigued from work, because it's demanding, that exercise didn't relieve that. So there was something else going on. Either I'm not sleeping well, or I'm not eating well, or I'm skipping meals. So some people may notice that. So they shouldn't be discouraged to not exercise if they're not feeling that relief. The key is to exercise to the point of keeping your body in shape. But again, going back to those, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to go back to those aspects of your life and determine where the biggest draws of your energy are located. And just thinking about whether they can be eliminated or not. You know, I've got patients that come in that are horribly depressed because they hate their jobs, but it's not feasible for them to leave their jobs at this point. So there's only so much we're going to be able to do to get them to a point of satisfaction by helping redirect what's important in their lives. But ultimately, until that obstacle to cure is removed, we're not going to be able to make it better. We're not going to be able to truly relieve them of all of their emotional symptoms.
So we have the health, the booklet that they gave all of us enrollees to write our information in and have our health action plan. Can we use that to document what's going on in our daily life and be able to maybe help identify what a trigger may be?
What I tell people is this. Take three things in your life, three things that are uncomfortable for you or things that you worry about, and those are the only three things you can worry about and be uncomfortable with. If you commit to that, then when the other things start to come around, you'll push them off and say, I can't deal with those, I'm sorry. That's just not something I can deal with. Mm-hmm. Starting with three things that you accept that you must deal with. Above and beyond that, nothing else. And write those three things down. And whenever something else comes into your life to try to distract you from those three things, make a little note about it and how you responded. Oh, I said I can't do it. I said I'm not going to be able to get involved in that, right? And then the next discussion we should have at some point is the associated emotion that's attached with that. That's a whole different conversation. And starting to recognize emotion and where it's coming from. So if you're angry about something, there's something that triggered that. If you're frightened, there's something that triggered that. And really becoming familiar with that.
And so understanding our bodies.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So if we are concerned about depression, whether it's baby blues or chronic, or maybe it is just that, what did you call it for the one? It's
dysthymia.
Just dysthymia. If we're concerned about that, can we make appointments?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've spoken with people whose relatives have died, and we get to really the root cause of what's troubling them. You know, many times it's not just, I'm going to miss this person and I'm sad. There's a feeling of loneliness suddenly, or there's a feeling that, you know, that they've lost this connection. There's a lot more. It's a lot more involved. So definitely people can come in, make an appointment, and we figure it out. And then once we figure it out, if it's something that I feel really needs the help of a professional, psychologist, a social worker, someone else, then the referral goes in place. But at least now we've illuminated what the real problem is. And believe it or not, when people do that, their subconscious minds start working on it. The minute they realize it.
So they accept that there's a problem.
They start, yes, and they start, their minds start to deal with it. And even when they're sleeping, or when they're working on other things, their subconscious is toiling through this. They may have nightmares or strange dreams after realizing that, but slowly but surely their mind is working it through, and it helps.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Karen Rolese, for joining us. If you've got any concerns about depression, whether or not you have it, how to, even maybe how to be a friend to those that are suffering with it, be sure to make an appointment with your provider. And thank you for joining us.